minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and a very merry Draftmas week to you all. I am your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. And Ross, we are talking Packers big board today. The moment everyone has been waiting for. Everything you need to know about what the Packers are going to do this next weekend, you're going to find right here on this podcast today. Because Ross and I have spent countless hours on these big boards picking players that we think are going to be Green Bay Packers. And we did the same thing last year, Ross, and a lot of guys did not end up Packers that we thought, that we said.
Yeah, the Packers big board had a good run. Certainly the year they took Jair and Josh, both of those guys were top 15 Packers big board players. I think Josh was like number three. He was CB1 for me in that class. They needed a corner. I didn't think they'd take Jair because he was short. I was wrong. But last year was rough. I did not like Jordan Love as a prospect. I have gotten some more context on Jordan Love. I'm higher on him, you know, than I was on draft day, but still not a ton. You know, I'm not going to change my, like, I'm not going to completely change my opinion on him just because he's on the team now. I'm going to hope that he does well, certainly, just because he's on the team now. But that doesn't change my draft eval. Otherwise, I'd be, you know, completely full of shit, if we're being honest. So, rough year. And I was higher on A.J. Dillon, certainly, than some. But DeGuara, I don't even know, made the board. J.R.J. was high on the board. Stanford Samuels was high on the board. They didn't even draft him. They just signed him as a UDFA. So it was a rough year for the Packers big board last year.
Well, isn't that why it's so fascinating? Because I feel like in the Jair draft, that was kind of Goody just like busting through the door like the Kool-Aid man and being like, dude, I'm here. You know, and like he did a lot of stuff that we really liked. And then the next year,
outside of that Oren Burks pick, that threw me. Yeah. Turns out I was right about that one.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to talk myself into that one too, but you know, he just wasn't ranked very highly for me.
No, but he was just athlete guy. But then, you know, like the next year with Rashawn Gary, surprising, you know, shocking to even some, but that one was pretty easy to explain away after you kind of took a step back and looked at what they were trying to do. And then, you know, Savage and Elton and, you know, Jace and all those guys, those were guys that were like, yeah, we get it. And then, yeah, this last year was very much a head scratcher. And we've talked about, we don't need to talk about it again. But I think what's interesting is you look at now moving forward to this year, I think, have we overcorrected as a community, I guess, of Packers draft writers and followers to the idea of what's the off the wall pick that they're going to make, you know, and is it just going to be like, how hilarious would it be if it was just Kadarius Toney at 29, like the guy at the beginning of this draft process that everyone was up in, like, that's the guy, that's the dude. He fits everything the Packers are going to want. And then we all went galaxy brain and tried to look at, well, it could be this, could be that. What if it's, you know, this guy? What's the name that we haven't heard of? Let's be the guy to get that name out there so we can look smart. And then they just pick Kadarius Toney. So,
well, because, you know, like, look, it's the only, and even I would argue Darnell was a little bit of a surprise, but everything has been a surprise. Honestly, you ask me basically since HaHa, like, I don't remember a Packers pick where I was like, yes, that's perfect sense. You know, even like when they took Kenny Clark, it was, you know, kind of the same thing where I didn't, you know for sure how I felt about it. And I again, like Demaryius Randall, you're not loving it. Kevin King, you're not loving it. A lot of guys. But when Goody got there, all of them are surprising. Jair, really? Jair's too short. You know, he doesn't he shouldn't be on their board. They took him. Rashawn Gary, damn it. You know, they took the toolsy guy that has bad tape. Darnell Savage, really? A safety, you know? And then obviously the Jordan Love thing was like, what? So there's always been a little bit of surprise when Goody's been in charge.
Yeah, so I think we do kind of have just our bases covered. It will really have to be an off-the-wall type player. Like, I saw Peter King had Tyson Campbell in the first round of his mock, who he and again, he doesn't fit Packers' thresholds as far as, like, his agilities. Like, his three-cone, if what we going off of what they've done in the past, his three-cone should take him off the board. If his tape doesn't already, I don't think his tape is very good either. But, you know, stuff like that. Like, who's the name? Like, even that, like, that name surfaced today. So people were talking about him. Like, oh, geez, Packers need a corner. End of the first round, Tyson Campbell, Georgia. He's got a high RAS, but he doesn't really hit the areas that they, you know, will go after. So, you know, speaking of those areas that they go after, that's what we're going to do today, Ross, is. And I think this has been done up a lot now, especially now that this will be Goody's fourth draft. We can kind of start to see really what his trends are, what he likes. And maybe we overreact to that stuff. But when you make your Packers a big board, when I put together my basically my targets for the Packers, that's the stuff we're using is to, what have they done in the past? And can we apply that to players that we see today? So I think, you know, the best way to kind of go about this is, and you tell me, is there a way that you can go through different tiers, Ross, of guys that you think might be available, like, per round? And I guess, I know we did this show last year, but I don't remember how we did it. So how do you want to go through this big board today, Mr. Ross Oakland?
Yeah, we can do that. In tiers, that's fine. So I haven't released the last one. I'm still working on. So what goes first is the top 300. And then that gets kind of reordered by the Packers' needs or my view of the Packers' needs moving forward. And I could get more granular. I don't, you know, I could, you know, my top 300 is different than theirs because they value different things than I do. So I could adjust it for and go even further and rank guys for them higher than I have them graded for myself. I don't do that. That it just gets too deep into the weeds if you ask me at that point. So, you know, the guys that I have for the Packers that they won't get, right? So number one, I have Trevor Lawrence. And that's interesting because I don't have another quarterback on the Packers big board until 54. Just because I would rather take, well, basically 52 other players before I would swing on a quarterback again with Love and Rodgers on the roster. Now, those two QBs are Fields and Lance. And then on the top 100 that's featured on the Cheesehead TV draft guy, there isn't another quarterback because I don't like Wilson as much as other people. I don't think he's a significant upgrade over Love. And I feel the same way about Mac Jones. I feel more strongly about Mac Jones. So getting into then guys they probably won't be able to get. Penne 2, Pitts 3, Chase 4, Devonta Smith 5, Rashawn Slater 6, 7 Waddle, Darisaw 8, Pat Surtain 9, Caleb Farley 10. Caleb Farley, because of some medicals, is the first guy on the Packers big board I think they have a realistic shot at. I actually think there's a realistic shot at guy number 11 as well in Kwity Paye, just because guys might fall in love with Jalen Phillips. Guys might fall in love with Gregory Rousseau just because he's tall. I don't get it at all, but I keep hearing from people that know that there are multiple teams with a first round grade on him. So go with God, I guess. And then Micah Parsons and J.C. Horn really are that first tier. I don't think they'll end up with JC or Micah. I think both of those guys are going to be safely off the board when Green Bay goes at 29.
Yeah, and I think you're right with that. I think JC was kind of the darling at the beginning of this draft class, and he just has basically tested himself out of the range. And I think our buddy Jacob Westendorf has basically said, too, with Parsons, he's got some off-field stuff that we don't know a ton about, but if he's available at 29, it's not good. And that probably takes him off of Green Bay's board altogether. So, he just would be such a tough way to see him last until 29. It's happened before. You know, stuff like that has happened before. But you never know. And I think JC's off the board too. So, Russ, let's look at now that we've kind of gotten those guys out of the way, let's kind of look at this through the lens of what are the Packers' biggest needs? You know, I think the first thing that people are going to bring up is corner. And then wide receiver is always a really hot topic button. And then offensive tackle is one. And then interior defensive line. I mean, edge, you got some stuff. So let's run through these as potential picks at 29, just viewing your Packers big board. And so let's start with corner. And I've got some guys as well, just some top 100 types, and it'll be interesting to see if we landed on some of the same types. But, Ross, give me your top picks, top fits, if you will, to Green Bay at pick 29 at the cornerback position.
All right, so cornerback, like I said, Farley might actually make it there. He's 10th overall on the Packers' big board. And then J.C. Horn at 13, probably not going to do anything there. Then goes at 28th on the Packers big board, Gregory Newsome. I really, really like him. Asante Samuel Jr. at 33. I think he is a nickel candidate for them. I don't think he passes a lot of their athletic tests on the outside, but if they're meeting with him this much, I think they see him as potentially a Chandon replacement. After that, we get into other guys that, I guess, do specific things. And so Javon Holland is a slot at 49 overall. 59, Eric Stokes is a project. 60, Tay Gowan is kind of, in my opinion, a low ceiling guy, but a high floor guy. I think Tay is just going to be fine, and that has a lot of value to me. I think he's going to make it. Aaron Robinson is my favorite nickel in this class who isn't Javon Holland, who might end up as a safety. Kerry Vincent from LSU is 62 on the Packers' big board. And then the two really projecty guys, Melifonwu at 69 and Tyson Campbell at 70. They're projecty, in my opinion, for two different reasons. Those are the guys on the Packers' big board. And I just want to say, too, like, I actually view when I'm not talking about this class and the Packers' needs in terms of what this class has to offer, I actually think interior defensive line tops it all. You lose Montrevious Adams, and Mont was not a world beater by any stretch, but just not having him available, he was very good against the run by the time he got to his last year as a Packer. And not having him there means that the roster's super thin. Like, Snacks hasn't come back yet. It's kind of like Tyler Lancaster, Kingsley Kiki. Does Dean Lowry fit in this new system? I'm not convinced he does. Kenny Clark's obviously there, but they're really, really thin there. And they're really – there's not much there from a standpoint of who do I fear, who is going to get up the field for me and keep my linebackers clean in this new system. So that's actually my top need. And then corner, offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. Wide receiver, I think, is important with basically none of these guys under contract anymore. But they really need a defensive line. And the unfortunate part is they aren't in this draft.
They aren't. And that's, I think if this was a better D-line class, we would talk about it more as the pick at 29, but it's just bad. And you want to talk off the wall pick, Milton Williams at 29. Ross, how you feeling about that? I'm joking. That would be off the wall. but when you talk, I mean, he's legit one of the only like pockets, and obviously not 29.
And he'll move up. But yeah, he'll move up in my final rankings, top 300. I think Milton might have made I think he might have made the somewhere. Nope. He will though. He'll move up. He'll move up in the final top 300 and in the okay, so Milton scared me because, and he was my third round pick, by the way, today in Packers Mock Draft Monday. He scares me because he struggled against BYU. And BYU has this awesome offensive line. I think they're going to get two or three kids drafted off this offensive line. Brady Christensen is one of my favorite players in the draft when you compare him to where I have him and where other analysts have him. With that said, Milton did not do much against that offensive line. Now, I had a chance to watch other tape, and you still see the things that you feel that he can do well. It's just like he had, unfortunately, because he played where he played, he had one chance to go against an awesome offensive line, and it just kind of wasn't there.
Yeah, and then also, because this draft is so poor at that position, if the Packers want Milton Williams, they're probably going to have to overdraft him. Which is just kind of the trickle down effect of this class being thin.
I'm not convinced he'll actually be there in round three when I took him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I could see him going round two, and in a typical year, I don't think he does. I think he's a day late day two, early day three type guy. But man, does he, how far does he get scooted up the board? Because teams are just like, man, he's one of the few guys in this draft class that we think can add some versatility to our defensive line room. And so it's just interesting.
Yeah, and I think he'd end up being kind of like a toolsy penetrating guy like Kingsley in a normal draft class. Now, you go back in time and you look at Kingsley, like he's probably a second or a third round pick now just because of the juice that he's shown already. Mm-hmm. But again, you're talking about a normal draft year. This is a really tough interior class of defensive linemen. Not great.
Which, I mean, this is off topic, but you want to talk about, make a list of top three guys the Packers absolutely have to have take a jump. Kingsley Keke's got to be on. You know,
yeah. Like he's got to stay healthy, and so does Clark. And that's a huge, I mean, without having Snacks on the roster yet, I mean, without having really any, because Lancaster, I don't know, man. And just in general, I think the street free agents that they're going to have to try to pick up, or the, you know, the veteran minimum guys, whatever, after people get, like, I would go get Sheldon Richardson right now. Mm-hm. Unfortunately, they lost out on Mo Hurst, but they need, in my opinion, they need veteran guys that can play.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, they need veteran guys that can play now. I am not interested in watching a bunch of undrafted free agent defensive linemen try to get up the field in this defense.
Oof. No. And luckily, I think it seems like there's always some guys that kind of wiggle free from their team at that position, especially. So maybe the Packers can get a veteran on a 1-year deal, because it's probably going to have to be what the plan is. But back to, so as far as when I look at my board, I don't have it stacked the same way you do. I'm looking strictly at top 100 type guys, and you know, I'm looking at age, athletic profile, program, all that stuff. And the top guy at the corner position, and I mean, I didn't rank it like you did, because I just took guys off that I think aren't going to be there, or that I don't have enough information on. But my very top guy would be Greg Newsom, and I don't think that's any surprise to Packers fans, just because, I mean, he is almost a perfect RAS score. He's a 20-year-old kid from a program that the Packers are very familiar with, and it's just, you know, we'll pound it into dust. He just screams Green Bay Packer. Will he be there? I don't know. And that's the question. But if he is and they pass on him, that's going to be a tough one to swallow. It really, like, and that's something we don't talk about enough, is all this time and, you know, and energy that we put into this stuff to think we know what the Packers want to do. You know, we really don't. And so it just would be wild to me if they did pass on him. I have a hard time seeing that. Another secondary guy that's kind of in the same breath of air is 21-year-old kid, Trayvon Merrig out of TCU. 21 years old, like I said, 8.5 RAS. He's not a corner, but he's a safety. I just think, you know, the Packers, I know I've met with him, are interested in him. And that would be an interesting pick at 29 as well. And then the last guy that I think would be, you know, maybe a first round pick is Eric Stokes out of Georgia, who I think could sneak in to the end of the first, but he's not 21. He's 22. And we talked before the show, you know, how rigid are we going to be with this age stuff? Because it does have some merit, and the Packers have, Goody has never taken a guy in the top 33 that's over 21. So I think if you had a lie detector on him and you asked him, why is that? I think he would say because they view these prospects as more valuable when they're younger. Our buddy, you know, Justice Mosqueda talks about when you're 24, you're no longer a prospect. That's like who you are. And I kind of buy into that a little bit. If like these older prospects, like Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota is a 24-year-old rookie. He's an older guy. Is he, how much room does he have to grow athletically? Does it matter? You know, it's a lot of stuff fitting into that. But I think if you ask the Packers, they would say, yes, it does matter to them. So that's an interesting one to me. And we will see on draft day because after.
And that.
Go ahead.
That's a guy like Brady Christensen. Like, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. He's really good.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's older, maybe I only use him for one contract, but look, do I wish that Brady Christensen was as good as he is and he was 20? Yeah, sure, fine. But I also kind of like that it sure seems like he's just ready to rock now.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if that's how the NFL views it because.
Sure.
Because I think we all love Brady Christensen, right? But you keep hearing.
Yeah.
I keep hearing that he's going to, people say, well, he's not going to make it out of the top 100. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the NFL looks at him and says, well, he's 24. He's going to be 25 his rookie year. He's got really short arms. We don't think he can play tackle. We're not sure if he's a tackle. Maybe he has to kick in the guard. And maybe we don't want to take him in the top 100. You know, and it happens every year. Sometimes the NFL is right about it, and sometimes they're wrong, as is the draft. You know, that's just kind of the way this
right.
this deal works. But the NFL is always, always going to be trying to mitigate risks. So if they have information that a guy with those types of measurables or that age isn't going to be as successful as player X, more often than not, they'll go with the analytics, actually, on this stuff, which is kind of wild. But that's also how guys fall through the cracks and you get good players on day three. You know, some guys are just football players, like Orlando Brown is in the news right now. Orlando Brown Jr. just got traded to Kansas City for a boatload of picks. Terrible tester. You know, a guy that you would say this guy has no business being, he's not an NFL athlete. What does he do? He just shows up from day one and starts at right tackle at a really high level. You know, some guys just are football players. So it's tough to say. You know, we do all this stuff, but some guys just are ballers. So let's move on, though, where that's the corner position and really just the secondary position, because Javon Holland is on my list, too, pretty high up as far as a secondary player. 21-year-old kid, fits the bill, checks a lot of boxes. Let's move on to wide receiver. That's the position that everyone loves to talk about. You know, who are Packers guys? And this is an interesting one, too, because let's set the stage here. The Packers have taken three wide receivers under Goody. They've all been day three picks, but they've all been, what, like 6'3 plus with plus, you know, 9 RAS scores. And so people really like to cling on to that Goody's only taking guys that are 6'3, 220 and run a 4.3, you know, whatever. But then you can't ignore the fact that they rostered Darius Shepherd 2 years in a row. They rostered.
And.
Go ahead.
And you can't. You cannot underestimate the fact that they've never drafted a wide receiver for Matt LaFleur's system. McCarthy was still the coach when they took Jamon, MVS, and EQ.
Yeah, and they've never taken one on day two even. You know, so like,
yeah.
Dude, it's hard for me to say they value this when they really just spent day three picks on guys. Like, those are lottery ticket types. And so it's hard for me. And that one I do take with a little bit more grain of salt. I just tweeted, Ross, last year, I think around this time, like, we had heard Jordan Love's name kind of off and on throughout the draft process. If you go back to the week leading up to the draft, Jordan Love's name gained some steam for Green Bay. Like, as far as a guy like Peter King even had in his 2020 mock draft at Jordan Love being a quarterback that could be taken by the Green Bay Packers. This year, the name that I keep hearing, and it could just be these guys copying each other, I don't know, but Elijah Moore, the Ole Miss wide receiver, who would blow the socks out of everyone, everyone that said they only are going to take 6'3", 220-pound wide receivers, because he is not that. Let's start with him. Is he on your Packers big board? If he is, where's he at?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, he is. I mean, he's an 8.4 RAS guy, and you know that means he's a hell of an athlete because he's 5'9", 185, meaning he's got a 1.08 RAS height score and a 2.78 RAS weight score. And what that means is, you know, he's getting killed for – we don't have agilities, you know, but he's getting killed for his size. Bench of 17 is great for a receiver. 36-inch vert is certainly above average. And then his speed grade is just elite. 4.34 40 with a 1.51 10-yard split. The guy's a burner. I mean, he's just – he's dust. And so he's on there. All right, so Packers big board here. The guys that I actually think they have a chance at. So 15th overall on the Packers big board is Rashad Bateman. I think it's about 50-50 that he's available, maybe 40-60. Then Rondale Moore and Kadarius Toney at 16 and 17 overall. The reason that being because I think those guys can actually do different things. I think, of course, they can play slot, but I think you can get manufacture touches for those guys. And I think you can maybe run some jet stuff. I know you can, obviously, with Rondale Moore. There's no question about that. But with Toney, I think he just brings a little bit more to the table. The next tier is 27 and 29 overall, Elijah Moore and Terrace Marshall. Those guys are two different things. Terrace Marshall is another really good height, weight, speed bet. He's an outside guy. I think he's an X. I think he has a chance to be a very good player. And Elijah Moore, the only reason that Elijah Moore is not up there with Kadarius and Rondale is because I think he's just a slot receiver. I'm not manufacturing touches for Elijah Moore. I am not handing the ball to Elijah Moore. I'm counting on him to run great routes. I'm counting on him to kill people from the slot. I think he's going to be a great slot receiver, obviously, or I wouldn't value him 27th overall in this class for the Packers.
And with
I obviously think very highly of him.
Yeah, and with Elijah Moore, when I watched him, I had concerns right away, especially when I heard people talking about him as a round one type. And my concerns were, what is he going to test like? Is he an elite athlete? Because at that size, he better be. And yes, check that box. He is an elite athlete.
Did they ever get agilities for him, or why aren't there agilities from him? Do you have any idea?
I don't think I just think he didn't do them. Or they're out there, and I don't know. But look that up, see if that's on there. But because you watch him run routes and you watch him in that Ole Miss offense, and so like it makes you think of two things. One, he's extremely intelligent. You watch the way he runs routes. You watch the way he attacks different coverages. He understands what's in front of him. And I'll tell you one person that really cares about the intelligence of their wide receiver, and that is number 12, Aaron Rodgers. And I think he's going to be a guy that would like him from day one. Two, the second thing in that Ole Miss offense, that man, Elijah Moore, ran more pre-snap than anyone I watched this entire draft process. Like, this guy is always moving, always in pre-snap motion. And so, like, I think you could bring him to Green Bay, and that's what he's going to do right away. And you also need to be intelligent to do that. You know, like, they don't put dummies in motion all the time. You got to be able to basically know what's going on and be able to learn and be able to, you know, deconstruct what's in front of you on the fly as well when you're moving around and seeing what the defense is doing in regards to what you're doing when you're moving. So that tells me he's smart. That tells me he could come and fit into this offense and be that type of player. It would be wild to me if the Packers went that route in round one, just because they haven't really valued first round wide receivers since Javon Walker when we were children. And to basically say, okay, well now we're going to take a round one guy, but it's going to be a slot type. Like that would be interesting to me. And by no means would I be upset with an Elijah Moore pick at 29, but it would kind of be like the, okay. Kind of similar to like Darnell Savage, where I wasn't mad about it, but also I was kind of like, that's interesting. So it's not unprecedented for this team to do something like that. So I like him. And the only other concern I have with him is I don't think I've ever seen him break a tackle. Like, you know, he's
sure.
A slot guy through and through. Like if an NFL defender,
the anti-Rondale.
Yes. And if an NFL defender gets their hands on him, he's going to the ground. And he's not going to break a lot of tackles and be that yak monster, which is okay. If you get open and if you're a dog like he is with the ball in the air, and he plays way bigger than he is with the ball in the air, I don't think I really care that much. It's just not his game. But did you mention Diami? Where's Diami on that?
Yeah, so he's by himself. Okay, Diami Brown, 37th overall. He's by himself because he is – not a guy I would take in the first round. If they do take Diami Brown at 29, like I'm not going to care, I guess. I would be really, really, really surprised, but I wouldn't care. Because then you get to 66 overall with Nico Collins for me, followed by Amon-Ra St. Brown at 74th. And this is kind of the clump. Amon-Ra St. Brown at 74th overall, Tylan Wall, 75th. He's going to go down. Even further than he is, because he just tested so poorly. He's not going to be a Packer, and he tested so poorly that he's going to have to be a pretty big outlier to be successful in the NFL. And I hope he is. I have nothing against the kid. It's just he tested really poorly. So, you know, he's below average athlete. It'd be surprising if he succeeds just based on testing numbers. That's it. That's all I'm talking about. Same thing with Sage Surratt, who I have at 79th overall, 78th overall. Right in front of him is Amari Rodgers, then Dwayne Estridge at 80. And then at 92 and 93, I have Seth Williams and Jalen Darden. And that's it for the Packers big board top 100. I'll probably go up to like 175 when I release the final one. But those are the guys, and it ends with Darden and Williams at 92 and 93 overall that are on the Packers big board.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Hopefully we just mentioned some names that the Packers are going to pick in this next week. But if not, we'll see. Sure. And if they don't, we'll be right back here talking about the guys that they did pick and breaking down all of that stuff next Monday, which is wild to think that next Monday, Ross, we're going to be talking about new Green Bay Packers. So, guys, thank you for joining us. And until next Monday, go Pack, go.